Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to ScaryCast live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey. We are on the number one paranormalnetwork.com. New material. Everybody will be able to see it here in a couple of weeks. We've got a great show tonight. ScaryCast Tuesday is upon us. And my co-host is Matt Delph. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here.
We are glad you're here. We really are. And couldn't do it without you on Tuesday nights, I'll tell you that. And so anyway, why don't you introduce, because he's a friend of yours, introduce our guest who is a Bigfooter.
Yeah, a lot of people may know him from the TV show Finding Bigfoot. It's Glenn Williams. I'd met him years ago. I think it was on Lori Wade's, one of her expeditions. And I think I was a guest, maybe a guest speaker there for that one. I can't remember for sure, but yeah, I've spent many of hours out in the woods with him, and he's a true boots on the ground researcher like myself, and he's down the rabbit hole like the rest of us.
Well, that sounds great. Glenn, good evening and welcome to ScaryCast.
I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you here. Matt, why don't you tell us some of the adventures that you and Glenn have taken part of. And Glenn, don't hesitate. Jump right in when you have something to say now, okay?
Okay.
Well, I was going to ask a question first for Glenn, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this or not, all these times that we've been out and stuff. What got you started into the whole Bigfoot stuff?
Well, let's see. Back in 2011, I was the Finding Bigfoot show came on, and I looked on the internet and I saw they were doing these private expeditions, and I latched on to one in North Georgia with Matt Pruitt and went, and we had activity the first time I ever went out, and I was hooked after that. I mean, I started searching the web for everything I could find, and I hooked up with a buddy of mine named John Eves, who lives in North Carolina, and he and I started going out Bigfooting like every month or every other month, and it, you know, just got started from there.
Now, you had a eyewitness encounter as well. You want to tell about that, the first time you ever had your first encounter?
Well, let's see. I've seen a few where I thought I did, through night vision. But back in 2018, we were at the top of a mountain, a dead end or cul-de-sac, I guess. And we had worked that area for about 4 days. And the last night we were there, you know, we were in two trucks. And started to leave, cranked my truck up, the lights came on, and started going down the road. And all of a sudden, something jumps across the road. This thing was huge. And I was like, wow, did y'all see that? And nobody saw it except for John, who was in the back seat of my truck. And we went down and looked, and this thing, whatever it was, cleared, I mean, a 20-foot road and landed on a tree about 8 feet off the embankment. So that was a pretty interesting night. It was pretty wild.
Now, what year was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, 2018.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you did say that. See, I wasn't with you on that expedition, was I?
I don't think so. I think I met you the following year at the same spot, or roughly the same spot. You were a speaker. And I think you and somebody else, I can't think of who their name was. They were there. And I think we had some activity that weekend, too.
Yeah, okay, that was down in, that was down in about the middle of, I'm trying to think, that was down in Georgia, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it Cooper Street, maybe?
Yeah, down in there, yeah. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I think Sam Hedrick was with you. He was another speaker
there.
And,
that is right.
I think it was, I think we were all there, you know, me and John and Eddie Washington and Ben Christian, you know, a lot of, you know, just the guys that we run with, we were all there. And we were camping on another road. And as a matter of fact, I think it was that expedition. I had gone up I think it was last night, we had gone up and checked out that hilltop again. And it was wide open. There was nobody camping up there. The road was wide open. And later that night, me and Sybilla Irwin and another lady went up there, and a tree had been pushed down the road. And, I mean, it was a fresh break. You could tell it was a fresh break even with the ground. I mean, I don't know what would have done that. But something broke it off even with the ground. It was a nice green tree, and it was heavy as it could be. You know, I barely got out of the road.
We had that happen at Calico Plains that one time, you remember?
Yeah.
And that area, that's close to where Janice Carter Farm was. Not too far from there.
Yeah.
You talking about
that
Mary Green's farm? Matt, are you talking about Mary Green's farm?
No, not her farm. Now, we've been there too, haven't we, Glenn?
Yeah.
We were.
I think we, you and me and my son Gavin, I think we found that rock that everybody was talking about. You remember that?
Yeah, the, what was it, the talking rock is what she called it?
I think so, yeah. It was a big, flat rock that, you know, was way off the ground. We found it coming back down the mountain.
Yeah.
That had to be it.
Yeah, it was. That was, are you familiar with a lot of Mary Green, John?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the story because Janice lived with Pat and Robin McRae for about 2 years, and I heard a lot of all that, so I'm very familiar with the Mary Green story. It's riveting, it's very interesting, and in fact, Elijah Henderson and his family went to a Bigfoot research group up there in northern Tennessee where Mary Green, actually, I think that Mary Green started that.
Yep, that's where we were at, talking about that. She had a rock that she would, I guess she would take stuff to them or give to them. Is that, I can't remember exactly. Do you remember, Glenn, what it was, the whole story behind that?
Yeah, I think that, and I think she would stand up there amongst them and talk to them after she had brought, after she brought whatever gift she was bringing, she would stand there and talk to them. And I think she developed a kinship with them.
I believe she did,
was,
especially with I can't remember the Bigfoot's name that she and her husband both had a very close friendship with. I can't remember his name. Do you, Matt?
Are you talking about, well, I know Janice Carter had the one fox, but Mary Green, I know
so
she
did
wrote
Mary,
the
so
story.
So did Mary Green. I mean, you know, let's give Mary credit. Mary had a lot of experiences there.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Janice, but Mary Green was kind of the queen of that area.
Yeah, up there where she lived at, where we research, up there where Elijah and them go to. We've been there several times, haven't we, Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
And, we've had activity up there. They got an old campground, and they closed it off. And a lot of the locals say it was because there's a lot of Bigfoot activity up there. But the park rangers do not want you in there. And little quick story here. Glenn was showing me where they had the pond that goes up in there. And what was it, about 10:30? It was about 10:30 that night, and I had a thermal, and I was wanting to scan the edge of the – it was like a man-made swimming thing. Well,
yeah,
a little swimming pool. And I had scanned it, and as soon as I got out of the vehicle and walked over and started scanning it, was it a park ranger or a game warden? I can't remember.
I think it was a game warden.
But they come whipping in there on us immediately. And and they asked Glenn, what was it, what you were doing, or go ahead and tell what you remember of that, Glenn.
Well, you know, when you got out, the guy just out of nowhere just rolled in. And he said, what are you guys up to? And I said, well, I'm just camping, just riding around. We're camping down at the campground. And said, we just want to stop and take a look at this little lake right here, which is, you know, it was more or less a pond. But he just, I don't think he was trying to be nice, but I don't think he was wanting us to hang around there for very long. So I think he kind of shooed us on off. It's a pretty cool spot.
He goes, he says at 10 o'clock at night or something like that, and you told him I had the thermal or night vision, and that's when he walked over to me, and he goes, asked me what I was doing. I said, I just want to see if I can see any animals over here. And he goes, you might see, I think he said, you might see some deer, you might see some beavers. He said, you might see a Bigfoot. And I was like, what? You know, I tried to play stupid. I said,
oh, yeah.
See a what? And he goes, yeah. He said, that's what they say. And I go, well, what did you, what have you seen anything out here? And he started to say something. He paused. And he says, let's just say I've heard some stuff is all he did. And then he cut it out. But he was on there. They immediately don't want you up in that old campground at all. And that's where a lot of your activity, I think, comes from on the other side of that campground up there.
Well, you do remember us being on the cul-de-sac, me, you, and Gavin. And we're sitting there in our little chairs playing with our phones, and there's, like, stuff going on in the woods all around us, all kind of tree breaks and rock, little rocks being thrown and stuff like that. No, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, we were you with no, it might have been Scott DeForest that was with Steve Poppleton and Dana that was down there about halfway down the mountain when me and George hiked down to them and they had rocks being tossed at them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember y'all coming through there. Y'all come from Glasscock? Or did y'all come from up there?
No. We were up at the very top up there where we were at with the cul-de-sac that one night.
Yeah.
And we hiked down. And they had contacted, asked us if we were doing anything yet. And we're like, no, why? And they said, well, we've got something moving around out here. And then they started getting rocks tossed at them. So me and George hiked down that mountain through the woods there. And we were trying to get down there as quick as we could. I stepped on a snake that night. That's some of the dangers you go through out there doing this stuff. But so what was your most recent activity as far as, wasn't it on a thermal?
Back in March, which I've had two. Back in March, we were in a somewhere in North Georgia, somewhere off between somewhere around Calhoun, somewhere like that. We were at an old abandoned petting zoo or something like that, and we went up this hilltop. There was this real creepy tree up there, and we went up during the day, and I remember Michael Hill asking me, he said, man, well, Glenn, what do you think is going to happen this time? I said, it may be happening right here tonight. Who knows? And we went back up there. It was the four of us, and I started walking over to that trail that comes way up the mountain, and I looked down in there and I saw this figure. I was in white hot, and I saw this tree that was kind of a grayish white, and to the left of it was this shape that was pure white. And I thought, wow, what is that? That don't look right. That doesn't look natural. You're gonna see what you see. I think I got one. I think I see something. Michael looked, and he couldn't find it. And then I looked back again, it was gone. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I think I just caught one. But I had a thermal that didn't record. Luckily, Marsha, who was sitting back at the campfire, was running a thermal that did record and caught something walking through the woods that wasn't us. And it was pretty big. And, of course, I went back home the following day. My younger son, Jake, had gotten accepted to college to play football. And I headed back to go, you know, go up to the college to, you know, get some pictures made. And while I was gone, Tom Bruns had analyzed the video, and there was actually a Sasquatch in the picture. So that's pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal.
I think I've seen that video. Yeah, I believe I've seen that video.
Sure. Yeah. And here in Mississippi. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say Tom is a pediatrician for Children's Hospital in Chattanooga. So
yeah.
we got some pretty smart people that's out with us.
We really do.
Yeah.
A lot of professionals out there. Back early part of the summer down here, I go over to Bienville National Forest, which is about 15 miles from here. And I got a buddy named Mickey he's got some land over there with his sister. And we just go in around, you know, some of his land. We were on some forest land. And there was an old fire tower. And below it was a concrete block outhouse. And somebody had found a bunch of limbs and leaves and stuff that somebody made a bed in to sleep in. And, you know, they had covered the toilet completely up. And we got to wondering what was in there. Well, they found some hair. And conveniently, the biology lab down here said, it's bear. It's just bear. But then, you know, you got thinking, and nobody's seen a bear around here for years. You know, bears aren't real popular in this part of the state where they're, you know, they got a few up north, but not here. And, which I thought that was pretty convenient. And plus you had to open the door by turning a block that was nailed into the wall. So you had to have an opposable thumb to open the door. And we found the door closed. And, below there is a bamboo thicket, and there's a lot of bamboo that's been pushed over and pulled out of the ground, just all kind of weird stuff. And down below it, we found a little creek running through there. We sat in. We decided we would, you know, stay in for the night. And we held up. We had one of those little solo stoves we took with us to have a little fire. And I figured with that fire going, we must have caught the eye of a game warden, because I kept hearing something walking through the woods. Mickey and I both heard it, and it got closer and closer. And I kept expecting to have a headlight or a flashlight or something come on, and somebody start hollering, "Hey, what are you guys doing down here?" That never happened, and we kept hearing the footsteps. And it was all around us for about an hour. And we had a real, real intense night, and Mickey's son swore to never come back. And we've been back several times, and we've gotten wood knocks from all directions. As soon as the sun goes down, the wood knocks start. And we figured maybe we'll get lucky. And we did hear one howl down there. And it's maybe 100 yards off the main road. So that's been my most recent. It got too hot down here to go in the woods. So, you know, we kind of shut it down.
Yeah. And then, you're down there in the hot part of the South, that's for sure.
Yeah, now, I'm in Water Moccasin Alley down here. It is rough down here.
Now, what is your experience with the stuff you can't explain, what we call the X factor in the Bigfooting, when it goes from thinking something that's flesh and blood to something that just disappears?
Well, you know, I've tried to be open-minded, and I've always thought, well, these things are flesh and blood, but there's some things you just can't explain. Some things you just it's just weird. I mean, you see these strange lights, you see shadows, you see things that are, you know, there 1 second, gone the next. There are a lot of things that you know, your mind's eye will play tricks on you at night, But there's some things your mind's eye doesn't play tricks with. I mean, you see them and everybody else sees them, and you're wondering, what the crap was that, you know? And it's always around activity.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. You go so far, and you only get that kind of experience when, I mean, you spend time out there in the woods, eventually you're going to come across it, and it's going to make you question everything you've been researching.
Yeah.
I believe one
graveyard, especially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not real sure what the theory is on that.
Well, you know, the cemetery in that field, and where we're talking about that field that we went into, that's
mm-hmm.
got the old Thompson Cemetery behind it. Well, that cemetery
yeah.
is as creepy as all get out, man. That place, you know, I've seen little lights there, and I've just tried to write them off as you try to write things off as lightning bugs or something else, and then you realize, well, it's too cold for lightning bugs, and you think to yourself, well, you know, I'll just keep this to myself because nobody's going to believe what I saw. And do you remember going back in the woods back there? You know, we went way back in there.
Yeah.
And,
oh, when we went to, it looked like the Blair Witch Project or something, all those stick structures.
Yeah. You remember how that creep factor got real high back there?
Yeah.
I mean, it started really creepy back there. And
so,
we got turned around. It was a trip.
Yeah. So what it was is we were, this was at, this is where Mary Green would research, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep,
so
sure
what happened that time, we had been hiking, and we went up. Now, this is how an expedition that we do normally works. I'll try and explain it. Everybody gets that we create a home base. So
mm-hmm.
everybody, we got maps of the whole area, and we'll split up into different teams. And each team will scout during the day. Then at nighttime, we go out and do our research. But we'll take, and our team will have somebody that records notes, note taker, like if they hear a howl, if they hear something, what time it was. If somebody on our team screamed, made a howl sound, what time they done it, we document, everything's all documented. So
yeah,
that night we split up, and see, after we get done through the night like that, then in the morning at 9 a.m., we all eat breakfast together, and we have a debriefing. So each team debriefs their notes, what they had, and they can compare to see, okay, we heard a howl at 11:52. Well, team two did a howl at 11:52, so that scratches that off. So we know who done that, and
right.
so forth. But now that night, we had went, and we had went to this. There's a field, and then there's an old cemetery. And we had noticed a trail going into the woods, and this was something big had went. So we started tracking in there, and we were following the trail in there. We get in there
mm-hmm.
so far, and all of a sudden we get this. I can't remember who stopped first. I think it was me, you, Scott DeForest, George, but they all stopped and. They're like, whoa, something's not right. We're not going any farther. And then I'm like, well, let's just keep going, you know. So we keep going. I keep following this trail, and we finally come into this area, and it had all these weird stick structures and stuff. I always call it the Blair Witch Project.
Hmm.
And I remember they were like, no, we're not going back. We're not going in there. Don't mess with it. And I think Scott DeForest said I went. Yeah, he's a big guy, too. Yeah. So I start going in there, and I'm being stupid. I'm raising Cain in there. And but we come out of there that night. What was weird was a lot of people after that trip, that team, didn't it feel like something had followed us back home, like something had attached or whatever?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because that, I know the next night when I was at home at 3 a.m, something had smacked my bedroom window, and they hit it twice. And so I get up, and there's mud on my window, and I'm looking around, and there's nothing out there, but something is making a clicking noise right in front of me, but there's nothing there. I'm sitting there staring. I'm looking on the ground. Maybe it's a snake. Maybe it's something on the ground making a noise, you know. like a rattlesnake or something, and it's making a weird tick sound or something, but there wasn't nothing there. And then all of a sudden, it quits, and then I got a horse field behind my house, and they got a donkey in there, and that donkey goes off anytime a predator goes into that field. Well, within a few seconds after that clicking noise quit in front of me, all of a sudden this donkey starts going nuts. And then I think I remember some others, maybe Scott or somebody had some weird stuff going on at home once they got back. I can't remember. There's been so many expeditions we've done.
Well, you
but
remember
that,
down
that
in
was
that
interesting
same spot. Yeah, down that same spot, we were, I think we were coming back out, and we're walking along, and all of a sudden I got this feeling like I was being watched. And I told everybody to stop. And I looked off to our left, but you know, down, you know, further back into the woods. And I said, "Hey, look, there's something standing right there. I can't see him, but he's standing right there." And I mean, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. It was just the weirdest feeling. But it was something right there. I couldn't see it with the thermal. I couldn't see it. You know, I didn't know if it was back in the woods or whatever, but something was right there. And that feeling followed me all the way out to the field.
Yep. We had that one time we went to the same area, and that one night, I mean, we're pretty good in the woods. We know which way, you know, north, south. We can navigate pretty much out of the woods, pretty simple. But that one night, and it's that same area, we flip out the lights. And we're sitting there being quiet, and we flip them back on, and we lost the trail. We lost everything. It's like fairies or something had just moved the whole forest around on us. You remember that?
Yeah. Hey, 'cause we were hunting like crazy to find that trail back again.
Yeah,
we kept crossing through patches of woods to find. We finally found it, but it took like 15, 20 minutes to find it. It was. I mean, it was a straight shot in there, too.
It was weird how that it just – everything had just changed once – those lights went out, it was like something had changed the whole forest.
That is a creepy area. The whole place is.
Yeah, that was... Do
you remember, the trail y'all went down? Just you and DeForest, and who else was with you? Me and Betsy
was it
and...
Honor? No, okay. Oh, you're talking about... it was some boy, he was autistic. Yeah. Boy, he was autistic. Yep.
And y'all got turned around down in there?
Well, we went, and they told us it was only a 3-mile loop.
Yeah.
But there was no 3-mile loop, and we had hiked in there, and we get in there deep, and we're deep in there, and then we can't cross because the path that the trail had been covered up with a mound of dirt. It was somebody had just pushed all this dirt up, and that night was interesting.
That was the exact same thing that happened to us. We're walking down. We're going to meet y'all, and we get down to the very bottom where the creek runs through, and somebody's dammed it up, like a dozer had been in there and dammed it up. And we could not go any further. We had to go back up to the top, and it was real humid. We almost died coming back up that mountain. It was hot.
It was a 7-mile hike. I think is what it was on my step thing.
I remember having to come find y'all down in there. That was pretty interesting.
We didn't get any cell phone service down there either, and we got it in one spot, wasn't it? I think when we was coming back out.
Well, when you called me to come find y'all, we're sitting in the truck with air conditioning wide open. it was hot that night. It was real humid. And poor Betsy, man, she was just about to give out.
Yeah, because we had hiked up back through there, and I was following her trail back out, and Scott was worn out. And we had some boy with us, and he was autistic. And what was interesting was when they're on that spectrum, you know, they see things differently. They hear stuff that. They got like supersonic hearing, and he kept saying it was kind of cool because he was like, he goes, they've been following us since we got in here. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, something on two legs has been following us ever since we got in here. And he's like, they're stopping and waiting on us, and then they're following us. So that was even more weird of a twist to add to it. And then not to mention, we come across Scott terrified of snakes, and we had that big snake across the trail.
Yeah, I could expect us to see a snake down that trail, and we never did. It was mud. Man, it was awful.
Yeah, we really went through there, and that's because but they on the map, they had told us that it loops around, so we were following that trail. But then it just like it wasn't much of a, it wasn't a trail. It was like a field, and we finally found the trail, and then it's dammed up, so we have to go back, and then we have to find a trail that we come in on, because you caught us right at the edge of when we come through that field.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of a lot of adventures. We remember that time when I think where was we at towards Calico Plains? Every team kept coming back saying they heard a car door slam out in the middle of the woods, out in the middle of nowhere. And that last night, we heard one. Me, you, I don't know who the other boy was, and that one professor from St. Mary's. Remember him?
I'm trying to think of it.
Because it had been raining. There was a professor. It was just me, you, him, and I think that other boy was autistic too.
Okay.
That was with us. And that one guy was,
car door, yeah.
Yeah, and we heard like a car door. You know, when you're out there, you experience this kind of stuff, and you can't explain it. There's no way to explain it. There's no cars. We're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no cars up there, not even a road. And, why are we hearing this metal?
You hear the weirdest stuff, too. I mean, just the strangest stuff. And you know that, like, you're on top of a mountain somewhere. You know there's nobody anywhere around you. Or there's no cars. There's no motorcycles. There's no four-wheelers. There's nothing. It's the middle of the night. It's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You're on foot, and you can't, you know, there's nobody out there. And yet you're hearing stuff. And you're like, I can't believe I'm hearing this. But you wonder sometimes, are they, you know, is it something being mimicked that you know, that they've heard before?
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of those, if you listen to some of those missing 411s, they talk about, I think it was on the Hunted, when that one man went missing, they heard like a piece of metal, like a trap door or something being slammed shut. So that's what I think of now when I hear the car door sound. I'm thinking, what is metal that's opening up and shutting?
Hmm.
It's
that's
odd.
That's pretty interesting. It is. It's pretty interesting. It really is.
Now, have you had any, like, ghost or paranormal activity?
Not recently. I think we experienced an apparition when I was in the woods over around Helen one time. And I know good and well, now we were down in Florida years ago, me and John. And we were on the bridges up down there, and we heard what we were sitting down by a tree, and we heard a big tree fall, and then I saw a shadow, and I thought, man, what is that? But there was nothing else there. There was just nothing else there. It's really weird. And we've also seen we looked down at a bridge that was on the property. And saw two glowing red lights coming across the bridge. And so we radioed. We were with Stacy Brown back then. And we radioed to Stacy. And we asked him, are y'all coming across the bridge? He said, no, we're way over by the KOA. And thought that was pretty interesting. Thought that was pretty crazy. We saw two red glowing objects walking across the bridge, which I thought was really, really strange.
And this was just with your naked eye. It wasn't through a thermal or nothing like that. It was just through your...
naked eye.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That was. Now, as far as
I think I've ever seen a full figure.
I haven't ever really experienced anything other than that at that cemetery that night. I saw the little orbs floating around. That's the only thing I've really seen down there. I didn't know what to make of it, so I just kept my mouth shut about it. So, you know, you don't want people think you're too crazy doing this, but
Trust me, this is Scarycast. This is on Scarycast. We talk about all of it, crazy or not. We don't care.
And now, Matt, I'm going to have to tell you, it's not crazy. It's all real.
No.
Hey, Glenn,
exactly.
That's what I believe. It's all real. Do you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
you've been out there. You know.
Until proven wrong, you have to accept it as fact. That's always been my belief, and if somebody can prove it, if they can prove I'm wrong, then prove it. Otherwise, I'm going to take it as fact and let it go with that.
Exactly.
But there are some things that you see you just you can't believe. You just cannot believe your eyes, and you just feel like wow. And I've heard so many stories about people who've had encounters or had sightings that they were never the same. Well, it didn't really affect me that way. It was more like a wow kind of a deal. It wasn't like a freak out kind of a deal. It was like a wow deal. So maybe I have a different set of emotions and stuff like that. I don't get as freaked out as fast as somebody else does, but it's a lot of fun to go in and explore.
Yeah, we have a lot of good times, whether you have activity or not.
And they're a lot of fun.
Tell us, this is kind of a funny story. Glenn had made
squat soup.
Squatch soup, yeah. Tell John and listeners what the squatch soup is and what happened.
Somebody in North Carolina? Is that the one you're talking about, when me and John made that big pot of it?
Yeah, I think so, and everybody had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. But this stuff was like fiber rich. It was ground beef and all kind of vegetables and all kind of sauces and all kind of noodles and all kind of stuff. And we made like 32 quarts of it in a huge pot. And people were coming back and getting thirds and fourths and fifths of it. And, I mean, the next day everybody was in the bathroom. Everybody.
Now, Glenn, why would they have been in the bathroom? What would have been the reason?
Well, I guess our stew was pretty good.
Did you have a lot of hot sauce in it or what?
We had Louisiana hot sauce. We had ketchup. We had, what else? We had 57 sauce, barbecue sauce, soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce, you name it, man. We poured it in there, and we poured it by the bottle. And we had minestrone mix. We had green beans. We had peas. We had carrots. We had just everything you could think of. Anything we could find in the can, we poured in there. Succotash, all kinds of beans. About 5 pounds of ground beef.
The beans and
hot sauce. Oh, yeah. It was good stuff. It was real good stuff. That started as kind of everybody was starving to death on an expedition we were doing in Florida one time. The guys had brought nothing to eat, and we had a bunch of stuff. John and I had a bunch of stuff in our cooler, and we decided, well, since everybody's going to starve to death, we're just going to make a pot of soup. That was our first pot, and everybody loved it. Of course, everybody went to the bathroom later, but everybody loved it. So it just kind of started from there.
I guess you about eat anything if you don't have any food and you've been out there for a while.
when you bring Vienna sausage and beanie weenies and stuff like that, which reminds me of a story. We were in North Georgia one time, John and I, above Helen, and we were hiking from the river back up, and we were with a guy named Jim Ridley. And, Jim was in shape. He was in great shape. John and I were both, kind of heavy back then. And we got to a plateau climbing out. We're exhausted. We got to a plateau and we stopped. And Jim pulls out one of those Kashi Go Lean bars and Smart Water and all this stuff. And of course, John and I pull out Vienna sausage and Mr. Pibb and all kind of stuff. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, he was in shape. We were dying, man.
John.
Yeah, well, listen,
too,
I would have been pulling out some vodka and crackers and cheese. That's what I'd have been pulling out.
That was later on. Once we got back,
yeah.
That was later on.
I was getting ready to say we got a story. The blue grilled cheese, that was hilarious. whenever we all get together for these expeditions, we haven't seen each other for a while. So we got, you know, he's in Mississippi, I'm up in Virginia, George is in Georgia, and you got Carpenter who's in North Carolina. Got all of us that, and, you know, we all get together in Lori and stuff. And when we all meet, you know, we're first night or two, we're enjoying the company of each other. And we got into what was it, Popcorn Sutton's Moonshine. And that night, we were lit, but Glenn had this grill, and it's like 5 or 6 in the morning, and he's firing up, he's going to make a grilled cheese, but it had, what was on the, yeah, describe your grill, tell him about your grill, hilarious. So if you ever see on Facebook, though, if you see Facebook, the blue grilled cheese, this is what the reference is to this story.
Well, you know, we were probably about, you know, 2 quarts of popcorn in by this time, and there were probably 8 or 10 of us around, and I decided I was going to make us all a grilled ham and cheese sandwich. Well, I got the bread out, and I got the ham out, got the cheese out, and I got one of those tabletop grills, the Blackstones, and I put it up, and I didn't know it was wet. Well, this blue mold developed over the surface, and I didn't know that. I got it lined up, let it start cooking. And I remember George took his flashlight, looked down, and said, "Man, that thing's blue." And I took a piece of bread with my tongs and just kind of cleaned it off, you know. And I figured I got it all. But the first sandwich that I made, the first grilled cheese sandwich I made with grilled ham and cheese, it had a blue tint to it from that mold that was on there. And that's kind of where it got started. We made about a dozen of them that night, too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was
there. No, listen, stop. Hey, now stop. I thought you were talking about using blue cheese to make a grilled cheese sandwich, which sounds great. Now, that sounds great to me. That really does. I didn't know you had damn blue mold all over it. Now, I was sitting here trying to think, well, if I was going to do a grilled blue cheese sandwich, I'd probably put bacon on it, too. And I was just sitting here thinking about, oh, how good that would be. And now you're talking about, oh, my God. Oh, God. Okay, go on, guys. No more, hey, Glenn, no more blue mold story. No more blue stories, okay?
Okay.
That first sandwich, Joe, is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
it was John's wife, wasn't it?
Well, listen, yeah. I will probably make a grilled blue cheese sandwich tomorrow. That sounds good.
Make sure you clean your stove off.
Yeah, I made sure I cleaned it when I got home. But it was in the dark. I mean, it was on a table in the dark. I couldn't see it. I didn't know. George had me. Yeah. And we were all just, you know, my gosh, we were all 3 feet of the wind anyway. And it was hilarious. It really was.
And we kept smelling. He was trying to light it. And the thing, and he couldn't get it lit. And all we kept smelling all through the camp was that fuel smell. So we're hiding behind trees. He's over there still trying to light it. Oh, my gosh. It was – see, you have a lot of fun out on these expeditions, too. So just don't get too carried away.
Matt, I'm going to bring my own grill and my own blue cheese, and I'm going to make my own blue grilled cheese sandwich, and that would be good. Okay?
Yep. The whole thing about it was, you know, we had a great time. We all laughed and cut up and had a great time that night. Next morning, we went down for breakfast. Lori was pissed, and you could tell she was pissed. You know, when you walk up to her and say, "Good morning, Lori." "Good morning." I mean, she says it really fast to you and don't look at you. Yeah, you know she's mad at you. But she came up and gave us all a good tongue lashing that later on that morning. You know, that was more hilarious than actually what went on.
Well, you got these people at this expedition. They're like, somebody in the camp was keeping us up all night long, and it's the expedition guides that's doing it.
Yeah, she asked us, "What? There's a campground down the road. Why couldn't y'all go down there?" Oh well, but it was fine. I think Carpenter and was it Rick Relish showed up with that popcorn? Yeah, they showed up with that shine. It's like, yeah, we were perfectly fine. Yeah. When they showed up.
Yeah, we were doing good. So that started passing around that moonshine, and then next thing you know,
it got crazy. It got crazy.
That was fun. Where the Georgia Bigfoot Conference is, going to be out there in Rayburn County. Now, Glenn's been out there, up there at off of War Woman Road, haven't you, Glenn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Several times. Got snowed in one time out there. Yeah, it was pretty wild. That Waffle House coffee was never better than that day. Trying to get out of there, man.
I'm sure. And I'm gonna tell you what I have been. Now I want to tell y'all about a road to get to War Woman Road, coming from Oconee County, South Carolina. Now, I don't know, have y'all ever heard of Highway 28?
I don't get it.
Well, okay, my GPS decided to take me on Highway 28, and it is straight up a mountain. I mean, you that'll make you think the road from Marion to Spruce Pine is flat, and that's straight up the mountain. I mean, oh, my God. And then I ended up and saw a sign that said War Woman Road. I thought, oh, my God, what's going on? Because I was going to meet the mayor of Dillard, Georgia, tell him about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We were going to have a nice time and everything. And I come down from there, and I get on this road, and all of a sudden it's War Woman Road. I said, this is not good. But I somehow managed to get back on 76, and it was just, oh, my God. I'll tell you what, there are some roads up there. I'll tell you that. So don't take Highway 28 from South Carolina. Don't go straight up that mountain. It's not healthy for you, okay? Or your car.
Well, you know, we had we were up there, and
no.
Jonna went up and we were watching the weather, and that bad snowstorm that came through North Carolina, crippled North Carolina for several years ago. We were up there camping at off of War Woman and the Sarah's Creek, I guess. And we kept thinking the storm was going to go around us. Well, come Saturday night, it didn't. And we got snowed in. We all went up sleeping because the trees were falling around our campground. We slept at the pit toilets in our trucks. And we had to, saw our way out because there were trees laying down the road. And that last little pass that's blacktop down to War Woman, we had to ease down it to get down to the road. And War Woman was bad. It was really bad. And by the time we got back to Clayton, man, it was – I was never so glad to see a place to get a cup of coffee in my life. It was like white-knuckle driving, man. It was bad.
All right, now you're talking about camping. I want to give you a direct quote from my mother, God rest her soul. This is the one thing that she said, and I'll never forget. She said, "My idea of camping is the Econo Lodge." Oh, Ms. Jamie, that was the greatest statement you ever made. That was so funny. You know, and so my mom was right. You know, my idea of camping, that's the Econo Lodge. Yep.
sounds a lot like my wife, too. My idea of camping is, is primitive, just pure primitive. And we've got a big camper out in the yard now my wife bought. That's her idea of camping. You know, hook it up to power and water and just sit there. Which, I mean, I go, but that's not camping to me. That's going and hanging out somewhere.
I'm starting to feel that way, though. But as I get older, sleeping on the ground and stuff, it starts to take some wear on your body after all the years you've been doing it.
It's going to make you think you're the Count of Monte Cristo or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 59 years old now, and I don't do well in the cold like I used to. And when it's really cold, it really bothers me now. I used to be I could walk around with a T-shirt on, no problem. But now it's that cold affects you. It really does. And, you know, the older you get, the worse it gets.
Just remember my idea of camping is the Econo Lodge. That's what it is, buddy.
I forgot. We haven't even talked about it, but why don't you tell the audience, because you were on Season 10, Episode 3 of Finding Bigfoot. You were the main guy that they said there's only one person they know that researches down in that area or something like that on the show. If you watch the episode, Season 10, Episode 3, and Glenn, you were in there, you were out in the woods with the Finding Bigfoot crew. Tell us a little bit about the whole movie, or the, not the movie, but the TV show kind of reality of doing that stuff.
Well, it's for lack of a better word, it's not as glamorous as you think it is. You know, we spent most of the night walking around with having our batteries changed out and our infrared cameras. But you know, we did a lot of walking, a lot of takes, a lot of retakes, and, but you know, we did do some exploring. We went way down to the woods. I was with Matt and Renee, and you know, they were really nice people. And but you know, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't scripted by any means. I mean, we went looking. We actually got a howl, and by doing some howls ourselves. But they have a plan when you go in, and they're gonna follow that plan, and but you know, it was a lot of fun. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I'd do it again, in a minute. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Now they did they have how big of a film crew did they take down in the woods with you guys and stuff whenever they do this stuff?
I think the producer went with us. We had a sound guy and one cameraman. So I guess three or four, I think. And we would do takes. We would walk from point A to point B, or we do something like that. Or we would set up a scene. We would be showing the creek or something like that. And we'd do howls and we'd wait for the responses. And it took a while to get a response. We finally did get a response. That and a handful of coyotes went off. And I know Cliff and Bobo were down at this place called the Duck Pond, which was like a mile away from us. And they heard it too. We couldn't hear them. We couldn't talk to them, and they couldn't talk to us with their walkies because there was this huge hillside between us, and it was cutting off our communication. So, it was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting.
Now, what area of Mississippi was this? Was it close to where you're at, or?
Yeah, it was Bienville National Forest. That's the place we still go to now.
Okay.
It was on some private property and some state property.
Yeah, that area. I'm kind of shocked that they don't have more sightings up out of there. They probably do. People just don't report it because, well, I was there back in December going through Mississippi, and there's not a whole lot in Mississippi.
I have a guy that I see at the grocery store a lot when I go in. He's always, he's a logger. He's always doing his thing, and he's always telling me stuff, man, I found this, or I found this, or, what have you heard about this, or whatever. And then sometimes if you're out riding around or whatever on a nice summer afternoon, you go on a one of these little stores. There aren't many of them anymore because, the economy shut them down. But if you find one of these little general stores now, you'll hear a guy, if you have a Bigfoot T-shirt on or a Bigfoot cap on, they'll tell you a story about something that had happened to them years ago. And that's kind of how you get a lot of information. The flats thing with BFRO, people do report them, but they don't report all of them. A lot of them you find from word of mouth down here because it's not as accepted as it is in the mountains.
Right. It's generally pretty flat through there too, I noticed.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. It's you get in a few hills, but yeah, it's pretty much flat. We have a lot of plateaus here. We'll have places that you come up to them and all of a sudden they just drop off into another flat spot. But and we got a lot of water here. A lot of water. And lots.
No. There is an area, I'm trying to find, it's a friend of mine, Angel Lee, she's a spiritual messenger. She was telling me, she was in Mississippi, southern Mississippi, somewhere down there, and she was telling me there's an area down there. I got to get a hold of her and ask her where, but she had a huge bird. It had like a human face hit into her car and messed up her car. And she said all the locals call that area where the owl people live. And they said nobody goes in there. Locals don't go in there. She said when you drive through there, the radio starts messing up. And she had one of these things fly into her car. And it said it looked like a human face. Have you heard of anything like that down in there?
I never have, but I sure like to. I'd like to find out where that is.
Yeah.
I'd like to find out what county.
I need to get a hold
county,
of her.
What general area that is. If you do let me know, I would love to check that out.
I will. Yeah, definitely. I told her I'd like to go down there and research. She said she'd take me out there. But, yeah, when I get more info on it, I'll update you.
Okay. Yeah, good deal. Good deal. You know, like I say, everything I hear from, you know, around here pretty much is word of mouth. I mean, you know, I've sent a lot of questionnaires out to people, you know, either by text, email, whatever, that report on a BFRO, and I never hear back from them. I never hear any kind of response because I don't know if they're telling the truth or what. So, you know, it'd be nice to have some
clarity. If they back out, they think,
Yeah.
All right, well, gentlemen, I tell you what, we're going to have to close this down because 10 o'clock Eastern time, we've got Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero coming up. So, everybody, we've enjoyed having Glenn on our show tonight with Matt Delf, our co-host, and this is Dr. John. I want to remind everybody, Georgia Bigfoot Conference is coming up April 1st, Dillard, Georgia, at the Dillard House. So, everybody, come join us. And guys, and Glenn, we're going to have you back again because you were a lot of fun. You had a lot of great information, and I really enjoyed it. Matt, I'm sure you did too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always enjoy it.
Definitely. Absolutely. So we'll have you back. And Matt, you're going to get the last word. You got 60 seconds for the last word.
Everybody come out. I'll be in Georgia that weekend, Georgia Conference. Come out and see us.
Absolutely. All right, well, look, we've enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, 9 p.m. Eastern time, on the one and only Scary Cast Tuesday. Everybody have a great week, and go check out Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero right now. Take care. Bye-bye. Say goodbye now.